Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the teaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church on our website at ccnh.org. Joyful and triumphant, O come ye
to
Bethlehem. Over the river and through the woods. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, I thank you for your love and your faithfulness. There's a lot of coughing going on in the congregation. I pray for your healing hand to be upon those that are struggling with colds and viruses this season. And Lord God, I especially pray this morning for those that are in the woods, Lord, that are finding themselves in the midst of a storm in their life. And I pray, Father, that you would meet them there, that you would give them a place of refuge, and comfort them, Lord, and give them peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pass through life, most of us are going to encounter some daunting bridges to cross over, some rushing rivers to traverse, and some drifts that will threaten to pull us off track, and possibly some dark, wooded forests that we will have to enter despite fear and trepidation. And though harsh blowing winds of life may sting us and storms assail us, God has a plan to guide us through every seemingly impossible situation. We can trust God to know the way to carry our sleigh to its destination. Put a log on the fire for me, God. I'm heading to the place where you dwell. Now, those that know me recognize that I can get pretty passionate about Christmas. You see, God stirs up something of a nostalgic nature in me, a childlike imagery that tickles at my imagination and reminds me of the important traditions that I want to hold on to. And Christmas is one of the few consistencies that we have in life, whether we want it to come or not. Now, I admit that there have been some circumstances in life that have threatened to steal my Christmas joy. But God would come and faithfully caress my pain with his love and bring me a new sense of renewal and hope. When I have been confronted with feelings of disappointment and discouragement, I would have to push through those so that I would not miss an opportunity to overcome loss, heartache, or sadness. And God would come alongside me. He'd nudge me, and I'd go and I'd dig out my Christmas music. I'd pull out my boxes and my boxes and my boxes of Christmas ornaments out of the attic. And in the doing, I would inevitably begin to see my life once again from a healthy perspective of hope and purpose. You see, God for me is the true spirit of Christmas past, present, and future. Psalms 43 says, "Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell." In Proverbs 23, 18 and 19, we read, "There is surely a future of hope I have for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen and be wise and keep your heart on the right path." In Jeremiah 29, 11, "For I know the plans for you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future." You see, hope is about anticipation. And the journey for today's message started with one of anticipation. I'll call it an adventure of serendipitous discovery. Two verses, "Over the river and through the woods," began to play over and over in my mind. I became really curious. Actually, I want to go on to the next one. I became really curious as to who the author was of this well-known poem put to music that I used to sing a lot during the holidays as a young child. I'd like us to say this over and over again, and this is actually written in its original form, so it will say wood and not wood. So let's say this together. Over the river and through the wood, to grandfather's house we go. The horse knows a way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Oh, over the river and through the wood, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. So I became really curious as to who this author was and why she wrote this, and praise God for Google. And I discovered that this Thanksgiving poem was written by a woman, Lydia Maria Child, in remembrance of the fond memories she had of going to grandmother and grandfather's house in the early 1800 pre-Civil War years. And like Lydia in the book of Acts, Lydia Child was a woman ahead of her time. She lived with life with a mission and a purpose. She shocked and was criticized and snubbed by her peers and others because of her point-blank realities that she addressed in talks and articles about sexual exploitation, women's rights, anti-slavery, and Indian injustices. And as a vocal abolitionist for freedom and justice for all, this novelist and journalist stood strong for the rights of others in a day when women were not given a voice to address such issues or political hot buttons. And because I primarily work with women, I was fascinated and quite inspired by the courageous stance that she took to make her voice heard in her writings, in her literature, when it wasn't popular and it was downright socially unacceptable. I found Lydia Child to be a remarkable and noble character. And then I discovered that the original grandfather's house still stands today. It was purchased by Tufts University, and that Rick and I were going to be visiting a church only 15 miles away from Medford, Massachusetts, where this house was. So we went to see it. And here I am standing behind a rock with a historical plaque on it explaining about grandfather's house. And there's part of the original house. That's Rick in the front, way down in the lower left-hand corner, pretending like he's guiding the sleigh. And then here's the original bridge that is talked about in the poem. And actually, this is the Mystic River. So it's the infamous Mystic River that is talked about in the story Over the River and Through the Woods. And although the woods have been clear-cut and it looks a lot different, I felt like I was on a journey with a friend as I prepared for this message. Our hearts joined by common issues that a lot of women are still fighting for 200 years later. And Lydia's poem and life story drew me to consider my own story. You see, in many ways, our life is like one long sleigh ride. In life, we will have to cross bridges. But not just man-made structural bridges, but bridges in the mind, in the emotions, and the body. We may have to cross over rivers that seem dark and deep, encounter obstacles and dangerous drifts in life that threaten to defeat us or throw us off track. We may be asked to enter some pretty scary woods, the unknowns and fears that we will have to face on life's journey. And in this poem by Lydia Child, the passengers have set out on a journey with anticipation and hope that something good lies ahead for them. And, of course, in this case, it's the comforts of grandmother and grandfather's house. And they have faith that even with obstacles and challenges along the way, that the horse knows the way to carry them to their final destination. They seem confident that regardless of some frigid wind stinging their toes and biting their noses, that a properly prepared sleigh and trusted animal instinct is enough of a reliable source of transportation and guidance. Let's look at the word knows, as in the horse knows the way. In this case, the horse is capable. It has experience, and it can distinguish between the right and the wrong path. It has the strength, the ability to carry, to bear the load and burden of responsibility that it has been given. And in this scenario, there's a certain degree of trust needed by those in the passenger seat of the sleigh. In Proverbs 2:8, we read, "For God guards the heart and the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." And in Proverbs 3:6, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." He'll take care of the obstacles along the way that may hinder us from arriving at our appointed destination. Now, whenever I go on a trip, I consider what I may need for that trip by how long I'll be there, what I'm going to be doing, what the weather or the climate's going to be like. I don't just get on a plane or in a car without taking some extra clothing or money and have a plan of some type. Now, when the children of Israel set out for the promised land, they did not start that journey empty-handed. In Exodus 12, we read that they were given very careful instructions to prepare for their journey into the wilderness. God instructed them, "Take your flocks and your herds, and then go." They carried bundles of unleavened dough on their shoulders and articles of clothing and silver and gold that were given to them by the Egyptians. And likewise, on this journey called life, God wants us to carry his promises with us no matter where he guides, directs, or leads us. In Proverbs 14, we're reminded that a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. In Proverbs 12, we're given a list of good advice to put in our sleigh as we set out on this journey. Those things that are going to help us to experience the promises of God in our life. So let's take a look in chapter 12 of God, what God instructs us to carry with us at all times. In verse 1 of chapter 12, we read, "He who loves discipline loves knowledge." God desires that we practice self-control and that we develop healthy boundaries. We should practice what we say we believe and love the truth as well as listen to wise counsel. And in verse 4, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown." But ladies, whether we're married or we're not married, our reputation should be one of high moral quality and self-respect. God faithfully awards those that serve him with integrity. And then let's look at some verses on righteousness. In verse 5, "The plans of the righteous are just." And in verse 12, "The root of the righteous flourishes." In verse 13, "A righteous man or woman will escape trouble." To act and treat others justly is to regard ourselves and others with respect, with worth and value. In verse 6, "The speech of the upright will rescue them." God is the defender of those that speak the truth. Verse 15, "A wise man or woman will heed advice." It's prudent for us to have a teachable spirit. Verse 16, "The prudent man or woman will overlook insults. They will practice self-control." You know, at some point in our lives, we're going to be insulted or we're going to insult someone, either purposefully or unintentionally. It is often so much easier to deal with insults by being insulting in return or being unforgiving in our spirit. But these methods do not bear good fruit and they do not produce peace. If we cannot approach an insulting issue with self-control, it is so much wiser and more dignified to give it to God and to move on in our journey. In verse 19 and 22, "The words of a truthful witness will last forever." You see, God delights when we speak the truth. Verse 20, "There is joy for those that promote peace." God said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Verse 24, diligent hands will root. Persevere. Don't give up. God said, if I am for you, who can be against you? In verse 25, an anxious heart will weigh you down, but words of kindness bring cheer. They bring cheer to us. They bring cheer to others. We all have times of anxiety. Many people are especially anxious around the holidays because of potential pain, loss, or fear. Sadly, the statistics show that there are more deaths and suicides around the holiday than any other time of the year. Frankly, it is not the happiest time of the year for many. So let us be channels of compassion and kind words that can bring living water into the department stores, the grocery store, at work, in our homes, in our churches this holiday season, and not be bah humbugs. The chapter ends with this promise. The way of the righteous leads to paths of life. This fulfills God's promise to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope for the future. All these good things come from the hand of God, and he makes them available to us if we will avail ourselves to his provision of them. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, we read, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these qualities in increasing measure will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we gather up the right supplies for our journey, and we set out to cross the bridge. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had to cross some pretty formidable bridges in my life. Now, a bridge is built to provide passage over an obstacle, man-made or natural, and the design of that bridge will depend on the nature and the terrain of where it's going to be built. Structural man-made bridges are one thing, but how about bridges in the mind, in the emotions, or physical limitations that we may encounter in life? There's a name for people that have a phobia of crossing bridges. I have a friend here that we got stuck on a bridge one time, and that's when she told me she had a phobia of bridges, and we were stuck there for quite a long time. It's called agapherophobia. Gephira comes from the Greek word phobos, or fear. And in some ancient temples, bridges were built over man-made structures to represent how we often have to cross from one state of mind to another state of mind to get where we need to go. So let's look at some bridges that we may have to cross over in life to get where we need to go. I'm going to call these bridges monsters of fear and trepidation. The first one, fears that keep us frozen and stuck. These might be the fear of failure, of being vulnerable again, fear of betrayal or loss, abandonment, being alone, fear of judgment, fear of responsibility, fear of others, unresolved fears from the past which might control the present, and if not taken care of, will also affect our futures. Truth versus lies. Maybe there were some first family rules or roles that you are trying to follow today that may not be healthy or functional anymore. Are you living with lies about who you are? Being told or telling yourself that you're not smart enough, that you're worthless, that you're not good enough, not spiritual enough, and that no matter how hard you try in dealing with difficult, sad, or heartbreaking situations and circumstances, that nothing is ever going to change. Or forgiveness issues. Can we forgive ourselves for past or present violations, or forgive others for theirs? control issues. If our life is based on what we can control, our vision is narrow and impoverished. I'm going to repeat that. If our life is based on what we can control, our vision is narrow and impoverished. Trust issues. Can we trust God? Can we trust others? Can we trust ourselves if we are committed to God's plan for us, whatever that may be? Or physical, emotional, or mental disabilities. Maybe we struggle with depression, illness, or debilitating mental or physical injuries. Or trauma. Things that keep us frozen, things that keep us stuck, keep us from moving forward in life, abuse and or boundary violations of the past or present, feelings of powerlessness or hopelessness. And then there are the bridges of the mind. To place faith in something other than oneself requires an element of courage. Yet those that put it in God can testify that even greater courage, along with peace of mind, is to be found in doing so. Jesus is the bridge that provides access to God's dwelling place. For neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. And here's one in our women's group that we talk a lot about. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Before crossing over the bridge, we should ask ourselves if the bridge's infrastructure is properly undergirded. Is it properly supported before we even begin to cross over? Have we made proper provision? What's in our sleigh? Do we have the right guide? God? Should we be crossing over alone or have support with us? Do we have people watching out for us and waiting for us that will account for our lives? Are we crossing the bridge by free will or because of the control of others in our life? Are we prepared for what might lie underneath the bridge? We'll call these the trolls in our life. How many of you remember the story of three billy goats bluff? Three billy goats individually go to cross a bridge and they encounter this troll, this threatening troll on the bridge that they're trying to cross over. The troll threatens to eat each one of them. But the first two goats bluff the troll by telling him that the goat that's coming behind them is bigger, fatter, juicier, and they convince the troll to wait for the larger meal. But the third billy goat, does not give in to the fear tactics of the troll. And in the story, the goat asserts its confidence and power and eventually destroys the troll. How many of us have trolls in our life? Most of us will encounter trolls on this journey that we call life. Something or someone wants to eat up our joy, our happiness, our peace, our contentment, our vision, goals, and our hope for a future. Trolls from past unresolved issues, unsafe relationships, pain and loss or unforgiveness can keep us frozen and stuck and not allow us to cross a bridge that is necessary for us to get to a healthier, better place. Are there unsafe people in your life that you need to set boundaries with? Trolls that have disappointed you and let you down. It's not easy to hope when our hopes have been disappointed over and over again in the past. But to get where we want to go requires the strategy of three billy goats bluff to render destructive forces powerless in the face of the Word of God and truth, and to believe that greater is He that is in us than any worldly confrontation that may seek to take us down. We must open ourselves to the possibility in Christ that our future can and will be different from our past. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today. Let us move forward with a strong and active faith. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Over the River tells us that a river ran under this gateway to the other side. God is perfectly aware that we may have to pass over or go through some murky, swirling waters and some possibly powerful undertows strong enough to pull us under, or a current raging enough to beat us against a rock and a hard place. The economy, unhealthy relationships, emotional baggage that keeps us tethered to the past can threaten to snag us and pull us down. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 reads, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." Relying on God's promises can carry us to safe ground, no matter what we will have to pass over or through. And then there are the drifts. Things in life that threaten to pull our lives off track, and obstacles and bumps along the way that cause us to lose our balance. Sometimes I trust my GPS more than I trust God. There have been times when I've lost my way and I can almost hear the angels in heaven saying, "Recalculating, recalculating," to get me back on track. In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world, Jesus of Nazareth. In life, winds blow. Storms of adversity tend to bite at our confidence in the Lord. Faith walking is usually a tremendous challenge for us, even though God has proven Himself over and over to us in the past. I'm going to be honest with you. One of the hardest parts of life's journey for me has been the call to enter the woods. The unknowns. We can't see to the other side. Our vision needs to be fixed on Jesus Himself and not just on our destination, because there are too many times when our destination is just not in sight. It may require patience, and it definitely requires an ultimate trust in our guide to have the courage to enter the woods. When my first husband left me with two young children, I was pretty new to New Hampshire. I was far away from my family and the familiarity of my home state, Alaska. The woods God called me to enter were daunting and scary. In the middle of the journey of my life, I found myself in a dark wood, for the straight way was lost. You may recognize these words as the opening terza of the Divine Comedy. These are the words of Dante 7 centuries ago, but I too know what it's like to enter the dark wood, where the straight way seems lost. And when I was so lost as to what to do, God gave me, this is my life verse, God gave me Isaiah 42:16, "For I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake you. And then Isaiah also penned these words. We look for light, but all is darkness. We look for brightness, but we walk in shadows. Isaiah 59:9. You see, life often is like looking for through a glass darkly. But I found that when I trusted God enough to enter the woods and face my fears, He turned the darkness into light before me, and He did not forsake me. I had to trust that God had a vision for my future, and that that vision was rooted in the reality that somehow He would help me to see it as well. With each step of faith that I took, when I looked behind me, I could see that God had done some clear-cutting of the forest and defined my path. God never promised us a trouble-free life. His vision of our future may not be the same vision as our own. Life's challenges are not supposed to paralyze us. They're supposed to help us discover who we really are. Bernice Johnson Reagan. So, why does God call us to cross bridges, to go over or through rivers, or to take a faith ride, or to walk in darkened woods? I'll call this the path of faith walking. Faith walking is rarely in straight steps. God may take us on a path of faith walking in order for us to go where He wants me to go. God wants to fulfill His intention and purposes for us and to open doors of possibility and opportunity to be what He wants me to be. He wants us to be transformed into His likeness. Trials and adversity cultivate what God wants to sow in our lives. He wants to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we can recognize our desperate need for Him. He take us on the path so that we can know who we are in Him. Colossians 3, 2 and 3 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And 1 John 4, 4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome the evil one. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And chapter 5, 4, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that I have overcome the world, even our faith." To love others with the love of Christ. God wants to build our faith and show us the power and blessing of community. We are not created to live in isolation. When we love others, we practice and testify of the love of Christ that dwells in us and is activated through us. To share what He wants me to share. God wants us to experience grace, mercy, compassion, and humility, and by that same measure, to extend to others what God has extended to us, and to dwell in us. Our journey in life can be challenging. God wants us to experience His presence and His faithfulness. Often our most memorable, treasured experiences and ultimate times with God have come when we stood on the precipice, realized we had no control, and leaped into His arms with faith. Courageous risks are life-giving and create growth. They create confidence, and they can make us better. God wants us to have confidence in Him and to trust and persevere even when we can't see the way clearly. He desires that we hold on tight to the reins of His love for us and trust Him to get us to that final destination. And there is a point to the journey itself. What we go through helps us appreciate more what God has at the end for us. In Exodus 15:13, we read, "In your unfailing love you will lead your redeemed, and in your strength you will guide us to your holy dwelling." In closing, I'd like us all to read Psalms 23 together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's go ahead and close in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you are a companion that does not forsake us. You sit beside us and you watch our backs. You are with us and you go before us. We want to trust you on our life's journey, to be with us as we cross bridges, have to go through deep waters or face obstacles, or take us through forests, Lord, where we cannot see the way. We ask you to give us the eyes to be able to know the next step to take. Help us to recognize the people in our lives that may be unsafe or try to eat up our future of prosperity and hope. Be with us as we prepare for the rest of our journey to remember your promises, your provision, and to fill our sleighs with the right things. Help us to rest in the truth that you will never forsake us. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide us. Let them bring us to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell.
Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore.